October the 28th, 2020. This program is brought to you by New Africa Excellent Enterprise LLC, Mirad Speaks, Block Talk Radio, where we teach Quranic Arabic, Islamic studies, and comparative religion, not just religion. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. With Allah's name, the Merciful Benefactor, the Merciful Redeemer. As-salamu alaykum, which means peace be on you. I'm your host for this evening, Elihu Bey. My topic this evening is Al-Islam, the Tafsir of Imam Waqiuddin Muhammad, commentary of the Holy Quran. If you have missed any of the talks, go online to www.blogtalkradiomiradspeaks.com and you will be able to listen to the talks that you have missed. So once again, we will open with a short dua and then we will continue where we left off last Thursday. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Wassalatu wassalamu ala rasulihi al-kareem Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mubarak. The Quran Surah 92, Ayat 18, spend wealth to purify self. God has alerted us to the presence of danger in the material life of man that tends to take him off of the path of purity and lead him into corruption. Most sins in this world stem from material abuse. Those who give in charity of their own free will and love to do so are not materialistic. Giving of charity is a requirement for purification as ordered by God. The Quran Surah 94, Ayat 1 to 5, with difficulties is ease. So in the above verse, Allah tells us that Satan wants us to have enmity and hatred between us, and that we should be taken from the remembrance of God through the drinking of intoxicants and gambling. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also tells us in another place in the Quran that we are not to go near prayer in an intoxicated state until we understand what we are saying. Prophet Muhammad, prayer and the peace be upon him, said in a parable, if anyone would wash in a river that came by his home five times daily, would there be left on him any impurities? And the reply to him from his followers was no. The messenger in the parable is that the five daily prayers cleanses us. As God says in the Quran, surely prayer keeps away evil and indecency. Prayer is a form of purity that cleanses. We also know that Prophet Muhammad, prayers and the peace be upon him, said that the Muslim prayers are an ascension, meaning that they lift us from the low, base, vulgar, and degrading thing. The Muslim gets a sense of upliftment or ascension, a sense of being raised up to God when he performs his prayers. God wants us to remember him. He says, establish prayer for my remembrance. God wants us to be purified. And as previously said, God does not want difficulty, hardship for us. For many, it is difficult to get up at dawn in the morning and make the dawn Fajr prayer. But God also tells us in the Quran that it is difficult except for those who are strong in their devotion to God. Yet in another verse, God tells us that after every difficulty, there is relief, ease. Thus we see that God wants ease for us. However, we have to accept some difficulties. To make our prayers as we should, We must accept some difficulties, taking care of ourselves as regards the practical things, such as care for our hygiene, eating the proper foods, maintaining the proper home environment for Muslims, etc., is difficult. All of this is extra work and difficult. But this difficulty is given to us by God to make our life better. So you have probably heard the old saying, a stitch in time saves nine, or an ounce of prevention is better than a pound of cure. These old sayings are telling us that if we take care of the present thing, then we won't have so much trouble in the future. God wants us to take care of certain needs in order that we may avoid greater difficulties. If he has ordered us to do things that seem difficult, then we should understand by his words that he wants us to be guided aright and to be purified. Thus, we should fulfill our obligation to him through the prophets, to each other, and to our community. So if we are to fulfill these obligations, we must be dutiful as Muslims and remember that just as God wants us ease and purity and all of the things that make for a good life, Satan wants trouble for us. Furthermore, Satan's ways seem easier. We hear people saying, do whatever you want, do your own thing. Corrupt your life, have fun, and don't care about the consequences. Such is the invitation of Satan. God tells us that Satan is our open enemy, that he is the obvious enemy of man. God gives us good advice in the Quran, wherein he says, O man, certainly the promise of God is true. Let not then this present life deceive you, nor let the chief deceiver deceive you about God. Verily, Satan is an enemy to you, so treat him as an enemy. He only invites his adherents that they may become companions of the blazing fire. For those who reject God is a terrible penalty. But for those who believe and work righteous deeds, is forgiveness and a magnificent reward. Is he then to whom the evil of his conduct is made alluring so that he looks upon it as good, equal to one who is rightly guided? So the Muslim is not supposed to take intoxicants. Such as liquors, alcohol, drugs, etc. There are Muslims who are very serious about not taking those things, but there are those who are weak and want to do those things, yet claim to be Muslims. So this makes a division between us, especially if these weak people desire such things in their hearts. The real Muslim, even though he is doing such things, won't desire them in his heart and will hate for anyone to know that he is breaking the law of God. The Quran, Surah 91, Ayat 1, Allah expanded heart. God says he has not narrowed the man's heart. He enlarged it so there is room inside for all humanity. The Lalians, Caucasians, rich, poor, uneducated, and illiterate, etc. So breast chest means spiritual conscious intellect. The Quran, Surah 94, Ayat 1, have we not expanded thy breast? The Quran, Surah 6, Ayat 125, chest expanded, constricted. So the breast refers to the heart, to the spiritual conscience. And the intellect is also referred to understanding. It means that the man has a very limited or narrow understanding. This chapter that brings our attention to the nature of human struggle, to the dynamics of the human spirituality and social makeup and spiritual makeup. So this chapter is telling us, brothers and sisters, that this is the nature that God has put in his human creatures. And not only the nature being, this is in every creature. You might recall when I began talking about the need for moral development in this community and the correct kind of spiritual vision in this community. So moral muscles use it or lose it. I try to illustrate that by saying your moral makeup is a muscle. And like your physical muscle, if you don't use it, it will collapse. Now, believe me, the whole human makeup, your desire for physical improvement or material improvement in your life, your desire for spiritual improvement in your life, your desire for improved relations with your loved ones, whatever it is. Believe me, the more you struggle, the more progress you realize. The whole human being in his total concept, his total entity, his spirituality, his intellect, everything, has this particular nature given to it by God. It operates like a physical muscle. The less you use it, the weaker it gets. So don't hate people who drive you to use what you've got. Hate people that tell you sit down and relax until something comes by you. Hate them. Don't hate the people that drive you to use what you have. Because in using what you have, you're going to become better equipped to do things for yourself and by yourself. The Quran, Surah 94, Ayat 1, chest breasts. So the baby is fed from the mother's two breasts. So when we are raised up as youngsters, we feed upon two breasts, or a kind of knowledge. One knowledge we live by but don't always understand. The other knowledge is the knowledge we understand that we ourselves can command. So when understanding comes to you, it gives you a command over something. The Quran, Surah 95, Ayat 1, by the fig and the olive. So Matthew 21:19, Jesus cursed fig tree. Mark 11:21, Jesus cursed fig tree. So the Jews lost the way. They got off on the wrong path. They were preaching spiritual teachings, spiritual values. But the path that they were walking on was a path of material conquest. They were on the road to manifest as any common tyrant. So God sent Jesus to stop and take the favor away from them. And Jesus told them, said to the Son of Man, come to the fig tree for fruit. And it had no fruit to offer him. So he said, cursed be the fig tree. So fig tree was a symbol of Judaism. He said, cursed be the fig tree, bear fruit no more. And the book said, right away, it withered up, didn't wait. As soon as he spoke, it was all over. Right away, the fig tree withered up, meaning as soon as Jesus opened his true mouth and his sincerity was heard, the hypocritical Jewish establishment was finished. They couldn't attract and lead righteous people anymore. They could only keep what they had. That was their materialistic, so-called righteous establishment. They kept their own people but they didn't win people from the world anymore, did they? So they didn't go outside preaching anymore in the world like they did before Jesus. Look how Jeremiah, how Ezekiel preached. Look how Moses challenged Pharaoh in the name of God. But after Jesus came, he didn't see the Jews out on the world scene standing up for God. They went into secrecy. They teach their children behind closed doors. They are not seen out in the open, inviting people to the way of God and commanding the word, the world, for it's wrong. Why? Because they know they had gotten in the top amongst those wrongdoers that keep the world miserable. And when Jesus condemned them openly, they just couldn't come out no more. So right away, they withered away. Is that right? So the Quran, Surah 95, Ayat 1 to 2, by the fig and the olive. Matthew 21:19, Jesus' fig tree curse. So Jesus cursed fig tree, meaning that he taught the fall of Jewish people. So we see that in Jesus' day, he saw something that the others didn't see. He saw the coming of the fall of Jerusalem. Like many other minor prophets in this time said, and he saw something even bigger. He saw the fall of the Jews. He didn't come to preach the fall of Jerusalem as much as he came to preach the fall of the Jewish people. He told it in a parable, like the parable of the fig tree. He said he came to the fig tree and found no fruit on it. The fig tree was cursed to never bear fruit again. Tree is symbolic of the secure society of people. So if you see somebody just mistreating a tree, right away your heart goes out to that tree. Although the tree is not human, God has put the nature in us to have compassion on these things. Jesus is a strongly compassionate man in the scripture. How could that strongly compassionate man curse the tree and make it shrivel up and never bear another fig? That's ignorant, primitive, savage, pagan understanding of scripture. It means nothing but this. The Jews were called a fig tree, just as many people are called trees in the Bible. So the fig is a fruit that has many seeds in it. God had promised them that they would multiply, when he promised Abraham that he would multiply their seed. Since they had been given favor from God to see if they could prove worthy of that blessing, the fig is a fruit that is nice to taste and it's not hard to chew. It has many seeds in it, and if you take it to produce more fig trees, look how many fig trees you can get out of the one fig. So this is symbolic of the abundance of good that God has blessed them with. So fig tree curse means that the Jews would be cut off. They were rebellious people from the very time God first called them. And they never did, because submissive people for God. So he took the blessing away from them. Jesus, in words, told them that he was their last chance and that after him, they would not get another. He told them that their blessings would be cut off. The fig tree being cursed means that the Jews were going to be cursed. Their blessings were going to be cut off, and they wouldn't produce any more figs upon the tree. That's their numbers would not multiply in the earth anymore. Their growth was going to be stunted or cut. The Holy Quran speaks of this And the Jewish history tells us that prophecy came true. The Jews, as a religious community that have multiplied, is the truth in the earth, pardon me. So Christians have multiplied in the earth, and Muslims have multiplied in the earth, but the Jews have been cut off since the coming of Jesus. They have certainly been diminishing in number. They used to be the largest body of spiritual people on the earth, but Christians took over that number. God dried up the spiritual or the divine knowledge amongst them and cut them off from divine revelation. He began guiding and giving it to others, other religious bodies, became God's Messiah in the earth, preaching truth to other nations before Jesus. The Jews had this mission. They went about preaching God's religion to other people. So we see that in Jesus' day, he saw something that the others didn't see. He saw the coming of the fall of Jerusalem, like many other minor prophets. In his time, says, he saw something even bigger. He saw the fall of the Jews. He didn't come to preach the fall of the Jerusalem as much as he came to preach the fall of the Jewish people. He told it in a parable, like the parable of the fig tree. He said, he come to the fig tree and found no fruit on it. The fig tree was cursed to never bear fruit again. Do we think that God writes such mad scriptures that we take literally in the church? Crucify on trees mean a community people crucified. Now we have the nation of Islam that came to us from the hands of Almighty God. It is this nation of Islam that has gotten us respect all over the world. Our birth and our resurrection as a divine one. When you read about the crucifixion in the old book and the new, it mentions the crucifixion on the cross as a hanging upon a tree. That's to let you know that it's not just a cross, but a tree. What does a tree stand for in the Bible? A tree stands for a community or a people or a nation. What nation can you find that has had people hanging by their necks in that nation? America has become so notorious for lynching. The Quran, Surah 96, Ayat 1-5, read in the name of your Lord who created. Education, science, creation gives man, but had not started without matter. Education problems, I think I have seen their tricks. And I think it is the arrogant scientific thinker who gets into science and forgets that creation gave him a start, and he had no way to start without matter. He forgets that and looks at himself and see himself as the big player. So what he did was criticize his beginning. He hated his beginning. And he began depending on other things. He wants to believe. He wants to be self-independent. So he hates his beginning. He looks back at his beginning and in the lap of his mother. And from the lap of his mother, he's in the lap of Mother Nature. And he hates the beginning, so he looks back at that beginning, and he calls all of us who are common people idolaters. So this, you are supposed to come out and defend human form against the attempts of the wicked to distort that form or take it out of its nature. And the righteous have not been on their job to defend the innocence of the human being from the magic of the wicked world. You have to be foremost in the scientist so you can anticipate his move before he makes it and tell the world, be careful. Here is what? Cunning. And this little warn and this little worm intent, finally, this little worm intent to bring your image down. Instead of bringing your dignified nature down, so watch out for him. Here is what he is doing. Inform the world. Stay into the battle. The Muslims dropped out of the war. They dropped out of the battle. They accepted the mentality that the Bible gives the people, that wickedness had a time and God doesn't want you to interrupt what is doing, because that is God ordained that the wicked should do those things. That is not the Quran. That is the Bible mentality. We don't believe that any wrong is ordained, only right is ordained. Praise be to Allah, subhanahu wa ta'ala. Passover is one kind of orientation into another kind. So I hope we see better the great office of Prophet Muhammad, prayers and the peace be upon him. He is all of the earlier prophets wrapped up into one. And then more so, because he received the guidance from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for all time. That means his mission goes further than the mission of Ibrahim Hanif and the others, peace be upon them. Prophet Abraham was just a sign of the Passover from one kind of orientation into another kind of orientation that enables freedom of intellect. So Passover, one kind of orientation into another kind, and Muhammad showed mankind how. Prophet showed how to apply revelation in the world. So I hope we see better the great office of Prophet Muhammad, prayers and the peace be upon him. He is all of them wrapped up into one, and then more, because he received the guidance from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for all time. That means his mission goes further than the mission of Ibrahim Hanif. Peace be upon him. Prophet Abraham was just a sign of the Passover from one kind of orientation and to another kind of orientation that enabled freedom of intellect. So Prophet Muhammad, prayers and the peace be upon him, comes now with a final phrase of it. And what is that phrase? The correct application, the correct implementation, or the knowledge that wasn't given to the prophets before, that was only given to Prophet Muhammad. So if you want to know how to apply the revelation, the word of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and how to implement it in the world, in the whole life of the human being, for the whole possibilities of the human life. You can't follow any prophet but Muhammad, prayers and the peace be upon him. He is the only one who makes that possible for us. No scholar, no scientist, no mujaddid in the world, nothing that is coming will ever change that fact. Whatever comes must point back to that fact. If he has any credentials at all, he will point back to that fact that Prophet Muhammad, prayers and the peace be upon him, the concept for the full expression of full expression of the God has locked up in the human nature in the right way. There was a wrong way and a right way. Allow the sign of heart and Muhammad the intellect. So we mentioned earlier, Bilal also typifies, or he is, a sign of the Messiah. Bilal represents the human heart factor. Prophet Muhammad represents the intellect. Many of us don't understand how Bilal can go into the garden ahead of Prophet Muhammad, prayers and the peace be upon him. It only means that your heart must be approved first. And Bilal is just a symbol of the heart of Prophet Muhammad, prayers in the peace be upon him. He symbolizes the heart of the prophet, and he has his own heart. But Bilal was used as a sign of the heart of Prophet Muhammad, prayers in the peace be upon him. He was sincere. He had no design on the world. He had no attachment to the worldly things. He was merely trying to survive and be as good as he could until his time was up on earth. And when the truth came, he realized that his voluntary induction into slavery was sinful. So he said, no, this is wrong. I thought it was all right to work for a man who had more power. He gave me a living. He allowed me to exist. And I gave him a service. But now this prophet from God says that this is slavery and that I'm only the servant of Allah, subhanahu wa ta'ala. And I have given myself into servitude that is not befitting my nature. So heart, strong, intellect does what is expedient. So John 16:7, it's expedient that I go away. Expediency supports the right tendencies in the heart. So he said, I'm sorry, Master, you know I don't have anything against you personally. I've been obligating you all of these years, but now one Lord, one Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and his master tried to change his mind by heaping misery into his life. He refused and said, I will even die. Do what you want to do. There is only one Lord, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the heart, when it is right, is strong. The intellect is not strong without the strength of the heart. The intellect will do what is expedient. Can't you understand what the crucifixion or the killing of Christ is? The book says it is expedient that I go away, meaning that the principle of expediency suppresses the right and tendencies in the heart. So this expedience is a principle of the intellect. The heart has a different expediency. It says it is expedient that everything else goes away in order that I may retain my righteousness. But the intellect without the soundness of the heart, it says, it is expedient that my righteousness goes away, that I may survive. Isn't that the principle of the world operates on? It is that my righteousness goes away, that my flesh may live on. But the Muslim says, Allahu Akbar, come on and kill us. We are happy. We want to go fast to the heaven. But in the process, remember that you may go faster to hell than we go to heaven. So the Quran, Surah 96, Ayat 1-2, created man from clay. Do you know what Allah really means literally? What it speaks to most of all, it is something that is thick. It has attaching power. It holds. Now we know blood is thicker than water, but water too has attaching power. You wash your hands, and if you hold your hands just like that outward, and water will try to stay attached to your hand. There will be a drop clinging to your hand, right? So if it comes too heavy, it will fall, but a small drop will hold on. So it says he made the human being from alaq, from something that sticks. They call leeches alaq because they stick on you and they are hard to come off. You have to tear them off. So he made the human being from alaq, referring to the blood, how it clings and holds better than water. And the blood will hold and then gel. And if it is outside of the body, it dries up. And eventually it becomes a powder, dust. And the wind can blow the blood substance or the blood product away like dust, right? But when it is moisture, it holds into a drop. It clings to something. And the right condition will make it clot. And if it clots in the inside, in the birth process, what happens? Out of it comes eventually flesh, bones, and a human being, right? And a human being, eventually. So what is this saying to us? That God made human beings with nature to want to be with each other. He made human beings to stick together. You know how we say, those two dudes are tight, man. They stick together all the time. This is valid. Your human being has a social nature. He likes to socialize with other human beings. And this social nature is what we call the nature congregate. So you and he are congregated. Why are you congregated? Because you like to be with other people, not just because you like the word of God, but you also enjoy being with other people. So man, progress yet to be done. So if we can understand that God has created us for great accomplishments far beyond our imagination, most likely we are gone as long we have gone a long ways, but don't think that's the end. We can go much further. I'm talking about progressive man. In fact, Allah says there is no end to the progress that comes to his servant that obeys him. Say, he has created things that you know and don't know, and you cannot exhaust the resources. That's what Allah says to us. There is no way to use up the resources. Education, learning, teaching is a priority in our religion. And it is a priority for any liberated people. God says work on educating, and education wasn't left in the hands of the elite group or society. Education was immediately introduced into the general public by our prophet Muhammad, prayers and the peace be upon him. He said to those who came to receive knowledge from him that you are obligated now to pass it on to others. And he told them, whoever would give one lie, if you knew one or two lies, if you would just teach them to another, there would be great rewards for you. So education is to be free. So he brought about a vigorous movement for bringing up the knowledge, the literacy, and knowledge of the general public in his day and time. We cannot have all of these fine institutions working on building the master race or working on building a master society, leaving the knowledge that God intended for all of us in the hands of academia, in the hands of a few intellectuals? No, that can't be our way. We can't do that. No, it is not for that. God says that he has revealed it so that it would be given openly and freely. A secret society in our religion is not only forbidden, it is criminal. Hoarding knowledge that will benefit other people. If they had it, education is a must. So revelation for impressive environment. So God created us with the nature, character, with the behavior he wants. And that will remain good as long as the environment is good, suitable, conducive to that life and development. But it will require knowledge. Revelation, education, if the environment becomes itself the factor for oppressing the intellect of man, so dear beloved believers, we have to appreciate knowledge, education, and try our best to translate the complicated ideas and theories into the language of the common person so they can get the benefit. Oppressive masses by greed, knowledge. College entry exams rigged against masses. Don't you know a capitalist society makes capital of everything? And that's how the weak are oppressed. They are oppressed by greed. But you can see all the way through the connection. We can't always see the connection. Why is this special institution giving all these attention to these special people here and limited their knowledge to the special groups? So we know that many of the entry exams were rigged in the favor of the established people against the unestablished people. And the civil rights movement brought that out. So these examinations are unfair, and in time, they tried to do something about it. But they are still unfair. They are not fair yet. No need to go into these institutions and try to make them suitable. The best thing to start your own movement. And you have the knowledge translated so that the common person can understand it. And then it won't be us that deny the people. At least the blame will be off of us. We say we have done our best, God, to simplify it for the common man. And if the common person don't get it because of their ability or something we have not control over, and at least we will be free. Freedom. Now we come to the idea of freedom. And knowledge, darkness and light, ignorance. And knowledge, oppression and freedom. So the real freedom we should be seeking, the highest freedom is freedom of the mind, intellect. Now, we as a people, once enslaved, we have come from slavery. So we are in freedom. Now, we say we are no more physically in bondage. So we are no more politically captives of this country or the South or any part of it. Now, we are free just like all other citizens. We're free. The law, the community, and everything recognizes our freedom, so we are free. But can we really benefit from freedom? Physical freedom is a condition for coming into mental freedom. The baby is a captive before it's delivered into the world. It is in the prison of its mother. And then it comes out here. What's the freedom it was first? Many times it comes out here hungry. The mother can't even feed it if she tries, because it is not hungry. It's not hungry for physical, but inward. It is mentally hungry. Before it even takes the first drink of milk, it is mentally hungering. The baby will be looking with a curiosity, eyes open. And when you see those eyes, the eyes tell you that this child is curious. That newborn baby is curious. So we think every baby is supposed to come here playful. So the first thing we want to do is play with it. And the baby looks at us and says, what in the hell is this? God created the baby with a mental appetite before physical appetite, before play. So prophet, revelation in the night, the Quran, Surah 97, Ayat 1, Night of Power. So we have indeed revealed this message in the night of power. The night has a coming effect. A spiritual man, is the same kind of man. He shuts his eyes to the light of the world, meaning to the knowledge of the worldly knowledge. He refers to accept the guidance that the world gives him. And in putting himself in the dark, he has to then depend upon the light of revelation. And Almighty God blesses him. Is there any proof that man, the prophet, puts himself in the dark? Certainly, the night vision. The Bible refers to it as a night vision, a vision that comes to you at night under darkness. Not in the light, or not in the day, pardon me. So the day vision, different from the night vision. Prophet Muhammad, prayers and the peace be upon him, he went up into the top of Mount Hira, or the mountain of the light. And he went into a cave, and in that cave is the dark. And there he received spiritual guidance from Allah again. A symbol telling us that it is not the light of the world that lit his mind, his spirit, and soul up. It was the light of revelation. And the moon is symbolic of the light of revelation. So mountain represents religious authority. Bukhari, volume 4, 830. Prophet pointed to moon and split it. And the mountain put in a place. In the Hadith, the saying of Prophet Muhammad, prayers and the peace be upon him, is that he pointed towards the moon. And it split, meaning that he ended revelation. His was the final revelation. No more was to come. And what was put into its place? A mountain. And what is the mountain? Symbolic of religious authority. So he left the Quran and his life here as the authority for us to rule by. It is the authority for us to rule by. It is the mountain. What else does the mountain represent? It represents a mass of people, all amassed together, forming one leadership. So we can not only rule by the Holy Quran and the Sunnah, we also have to rule by Ijtima and Ijtihad, which means the conscience of the majority of the righteous. So the Quran, Surah 97, Ayat 1, Night of Power. So when Christians sing on Christmas Eve, Silent Night, Holy Night, they are singing about the Night of Power. Jesus said, this world, light is darkness. With God, their days is light. Pardon me, their day is night. So the Muslim night is the beginning of day. So the night precedes the day. So the Christian day is night. Allah blessed us with the Quran in the night to bring in the day. So the light that understands that it is descriptive of the whole process of revelation, that God sends down the revelation, the Quran, with the prophet, prayers and the peace be upon him. So the prophet ascended because of what? Because of the purity of his heart, the purity of his life. And when he ascended, cast contact was made with Adam. Jesus, John the Baptist, with Joseph, Idris, Moses, and Aaron, and Ibrahim. Peace and blessings be on them. Contact was made, and then he came back down. So we can teach the Quran if we are ourselves pure-minded. But if we are corrupt-minded, we can't touch it. We can't touch it with our hands, but we can touch it with our hands, but we can't touch it with our hearts. Only the pure-minded can touch it with their heart because their hearts have been reconciled. So if you never touch it with your heart, you will never make eye contact. So the prophet, like Moses, his mission is to purify them, not to only to teach them, to teach them the book, the wisdom, and also purify them, because without purification, they will never be able to make contact with Scripture. The wisdom, they will never get it. So this world has the Quran. The State Department of our government has a Quran. They have many copies. Presidents, they have Qurans. Sometimes we take our Quran and say, I would like to give this to you, Mr. Governor. And he says, thank you. And he has one already. He had to have one. They won't accept him in that position until he get one. And if you ever get that position, they will give you one after they give you something else. They will first give you something to keep you from making contact. Then they will give you the Quran. So they departed ways after clear knowledge. I speak to you plainly. Look what Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quranic Arabic. Lam yakuna alladina kafiru min ahil kativi wa musraskini musfakini hatta tahammul bayina. Listen to the language until they come to them clarity. Bayina is feminine in grammar. Tatayal is feminine, so it has to correspond with Baina, which is feminine. They did not reject until they came to them. The clear evidence. What is the clear evidence? Rasulullah, the messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What is the Baina? That comes to them. Rasulu minnalahi. The messenger, prayers and the peace be upon him from God. So here we see that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran and Surah Bayina, the clear evidence, has identified the revealed knowledge or the clear evidence that was promised compared to or associated it with the messenger, prayers and the peace be upon him himself. And he said it is the messenger, prayers and the peace be upon him. The evidence itself is the message, is the messenger, prayers and the peace be upon him. Rasulullah yuklu ya, in the beginning of the verb, meaning it is masculine. So he recites to them, but of the Arabic word hatta, Jatahum al-Bayina, translated until there come to them the clear evidence. And the terminology here is feminine, what it is. Rasul, a messenger, prayers and the peace be upon him, from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yalu il-masculine, informed. So the Quran, Surah 98, Ayat 1. They not depart until knowledge comes. Zechariah 5, 1 and 2, fine scroll. The Quran says that they did not stop hearing, going astray, making in their interpretation or understanding of the truth of Scripture until the Quran, the revelation, the verses were revealed to Prophet Muhammad and came into their midst. Now the next verse says, the next verse, verse 2 says, the messenger. Now what is this message referring to in this verse? The clear evidence is the messenger from God. So that's clear evidence. Now how do we know this? Because over and over again in the Quran, the doubt of people is mentioned. It says, they say, never could a mortal bring this from God. Never could a mortal bring anything from God. So they don't believe that a mortal human being can bring something from God. So what is the evidence? The evidence is that this will come, not by way of superstition or mysticism, but by way of a mortal and immortal. It is very clear that the term used for a mortal human being in the Quran, it is to let us know that whatever has happened in this relationship, it has been within the possibility of every human being. It says, say to them that I am no more than a mortal, just like you, just like you. So that should dispel any doubt or confusion whatsoever that it is talking about anything other than a common human being. So a common human being, an ordinary human being, what's the difference? The difference is to understand, they understand that knowledge can come by intellectual study, by intellectual pursuit. Knowledge is gained. And knowledge is gained by contact with the world through the study of the physical universe, science. So you can get knowledge that way by applying yourself, your mind, your faculties to solving the secrets of discovery, the hidden acts of nature and science, intellectual observances. Then if you get it that way, how will the next one get it? The same way. Or he'll get it from you. You teach him, right? So knowledge be a philosopher. Okay, the first way of getting it directly by philosophers. They just sit out and meditate on the universe, on the nature of things. And philosophers have gradually come into the modern knowledge of the nature and function of the universe, right? But if those philosophers have passed their findings on their students, and eventually science was established, right? Yes, science was established. So that's one way. So what is the proof? Prophet Muhammad is the proof. Why? He had no teacher. He was without education. He was not a scientist. He was not inclined towards scientific research. His burden was the condition of his people, of the world, on his heart. Then the intuitive spirit of God came into him, as a result of the Holy Spirit moving him. Then he began to put his mind to the matter of that nature. So what is it saying? That it is not by man applying his energies to discover truth that he gets truth. It is by God helping him that he gets truth. If he's not inspired by God, he does not get truth. Sadaqallahu al-Azim, surely Allah speaks the truth. I'm your host, Elihu Bey, for this evening. We thank New Africa Excellent Enterprise, LLC, Murad Speaks, for allowing us to come before you once again. And we thank you, our honorable listening audience. May God guide us and have mercy on us and bless us with the light of understanding. And we will continue this tomorrow at 7 p.m., inshallah, it only means that it pleased God. I greet you in the Arabic language. Assalamu alaikum, peace be unto you, and thank you for listening.